This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time as we keep it rolling here on a Tuesday evening alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Got a bunch of games at halftime in college basketball as the Louisville Cardinals trying to pull, I guess, wouldn't really be an upset. They went off as a pick'em. So just a, would be a nice win, Matt, as they head into the locker room. Pat Kelsey's squad has a healthy 49-38 lead. The unbeaten Michigan Wolverines up 40-31 on Penn State right now.
Yeah, Michigan's going to roll, it looks like. And, well, Duke's in a lot of trouble here at halftime. That would be a what you call a rankings upset, Tim, where a top 10 team's going to fall on the road.
We've got our guests waiting here. Just 1 second before this game tips off, you've got a best bet, Iowa to Houston,
well,
moneyline parlay.
Yeah, moneyline parlay. Iowa was a six-point favorite, Houston laying six at the time, and I moneyline parlayed those, but did not want to lay the points with the Hawkeyes on the road. And now Houston up to an eight-point favorite. That was six early today.
Well, we've got a busy week ahead, and I'm sure our next guest will be very busy at work, so let's get to it right now.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Every Tuesday, we check in with our good friend at the Westgate Superbook, VP of Risk Management over there. It is Jeff Sherman who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Jeff, before we jump into wildcard weekend, we have a couple of NBA games still to come tonight. San Antonio at Memphis, the Spurs a six-point favorite, Miami at Minnesota. Both those games tipping off here in about 10 minutes. Minnesota looks like a 5.5-point favorite at home. Lakers at New Orleans, Dallas at Sacramento. Any notable action coming across the counter for the NBA tonight?
A lot of two-way action on the first two games that you had mentioned. The Spurs, you know, with player injuries. Wemby on a minutes restriction coming back off his injury. Morant not playing. So this line is sitting six right now on San Antonio. Got as high as 7.5, then brought back down to six. Same thing with the Minnesota against Miami game. That one with Anthony Edwards being questionable due to illness. So that thing had shot up to 7 on Minnesota when he came across questionable, as low as 3.5. Now that he's in, it's up to 5.5. So a lot of movement today on the games.
Jeff Sherman, Westgate Superbook NBA odds maker with us. Jeff, what has happened to the OKC Thunder? 24-1 start, 6-6 in the last 12, and off a 27-point home loss to Charlotte.
Yeah, that one and the Sixer loss to the Nuggets. What a surprising night last night, but I think at this point for the Thunder, it's a little complacency. It's just a long season. You know, if this was happening towards the end of the season, I might see some concern in it. But, you know, they got plenty of time to get themselves where they need to be. They know what they're about. And it's just that you're going to have stretches like that over the course of an 82-game season.
You know, Jeff, right now at the Westgate Superbook, the Thunder plus 110 to win the championship. What was the lowest you got on the Thunder?
We were at minus 110 before they went on this 6-6 run. And, but yeah, I mean, when they only had one loss at the time, you know, you looked at it expecting people to want to back them at short odds just because of the way they were playing and had that divide against every other team. But now that they've, you know, shown that they have some susceptibility against other teams, I doubt people would lay minus money on them at this point. So I eased them out to plus money and see if that does anything. But at the same time, you got other teams moving up in the pecking order. Obviously, Detroit off to the strong start. They had a nice back-to-back win at Cleveland and at home against the Knicks. So they've sustained what they've been doing. Boston's playing really well, minus Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown's having an MVP-type season. So you got some other teams' odds that have been shortening with the Thunder going out.
Jeff, about 5 minutes away from tip in Memphis. Spurs 6-point favorites. Just mentioned that. Spurs are 25-10. Nuggets are 24-12. With a healthy Joker, Nuggets, Spurs, those teams got to be a big threat to OKC in the West, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, especially the Nuggets because of being veterans and having been here before and, you know, taking them to seven games last year. San Antonio's still a young team, but with them having the entire second half of the season to improve, if, you know, Wemby can stay healthy and, you know, get continuity with the unit out there. San Antonio was a team that I was on since the first week of the season. I saw what they were doing. You know, I have some title and conference odds on them myself.
You know, we're looking at the odds right now. How high did you get on the Spurs, and where are you now on the Spurs? Have you taken a lot of money on San Antonio?
Not too much, because I've been aggressive with them, but the highest point we were at this season was 40-1. I played them myself at 55 and 30. I thought that was a little bit higher than they should have been when they reached 40 early in the season. So, but now we're sitting at 12-1 on them, and there has been support on them in this range.
Jeff Sherman, once again, VP of Risk Management, giving us the latest from behind the counter over there at the Westgate Superbook. Jeff, starting on Thursday, it is loaded with a semifinal in the college football playoff. Ole Miss going down to Arizona to take on Miami. You've got Indiana and Oregon, and then wild card weekend. Just from an action standpoint, handle standpoint, how big will this weekend be for you guys Thursday through Monday?
It's great to have the Thursday and Friday night games. You know, that's unusual for the college with marquee games like this. And we've already seen on the Miami-Mississippi game sharp action on both sides of it. Every time we go to three, they lay it, and now we're sitting 3.5, which we've already seen some sharps take it, but not enough back yet to get to three. So a lot of back-and-forth action on this one. Oregon-Indiana, we were at 4 as an opener on Indiana, brought back down to 3.5, so some sharp play on Oregon at this point.
Jeff, how about before we move on to the playoffs, wrap up NFL Week 18. It's a wild one. I was at the Westgate Sunday with a big group, and we were watching the games. How did Week 18 work out for you with the capped off by the Ravens falling to Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday night?
You know, we were a small winner going into that game, you know, so it was nice to make it out because you almost treated it as a preseason week, and you see the large line movement that in a lot of the games, you know, up to 7-point moves. So, you know, we start out with low limits during the week and increase them on the weekend after a lot of the information's out there. But the Steelers' outright win against Baltimore made it a nice day.
I figured it did because when I was over there, I saw you went up to 4.5 on the Ravens. And
We took sharp money at 3.5 and 4 to drive it up to 4.5.
All right, Saturday in the wild card round, Rams laying 10.5 at Carolina. Packers laying right now 1.5 at Chicago. How do you see those two, and do you see sharp money yet?
Yeah, a lot of movement today on all the games, and the 10s have dissipated on the Rams, so it's 10.5, 11 out there. We're sitting 10.5, but we did take sharp money minus 10, and the Packers, we took sharp money today plus 1 and just flipped it to Green Bay minus 1, which you're starting to see Green Bay a majority of places as a favorite now.
Jeff Sherman once again joining us, giving us the latest from the Westgate Superbook. Let's go to Sunday, looking at the Westgate. You guys have Bills, Jags, pick 'em. Total sitting at 52.5.
Yeah, we took sharp play on the over 51.5 to drive it up and expect the public to follow suit with that. You know, the highest total out there, and they usually like to get involved in that aspect. Some initial sharp play on Jacksonville, having opened Buffalo 1.5, driven down to pick. The largest line move here this week's been the Eagles opening 3.5, took money at 3.5 and 4 to drive it up to 4.5. A lot of that to dealing with San Francisco's linebacker injuries. And then not much movement at all on the Patriots. Opening 3.5, still 3.5, total sitting at 46.
Monday night, Texans at Pittsburgh. I don't see 3.5s out there in the market right now. Did you guys go to 3.5 at the Superbook briefly? It looks like now it's 3 minus 108.
Yeah, we opened 3.5 and took some sharp money. So we went to 3. Then a little bit of accumulation led us back to 3.5 for a short time. Took some more sharp money this morning, plus 3.5. And then this afternoon took another sharp play, plus 3 even. So we're 3 flat on that one. So it's been a lot of different sharp support on the Pittsburgh side.
Have you taken any what you would consider big, somewhat sharp Super Bowl futures bets in the past week or so?
No, nothing, just a lot of public play throughout. Nothing sharp coming across at this point on these teams. I mean, you know, Seattle being short as they are, the favorite. But it's, you know, the public's just involved with this, and they're really supporting a lot of the teams at this point. But there hasn't been anything that has changed our numbers due to sharp play in the future market.
You know, looking at your futures market right now, Jeff, Seahawks the favorite at plus 375. Rams sitting there at plus 425. Everyone else, Broncos plus 650. Then the rest are all double digits or higher. I guess the Eagles at a plus 850. How is your futures book shaping up as you head into the playoffs?
It's in real good shape, actually. There's just a liability on a few teams right now, so nothing overwhelming, but they're a little bit down the board for us. So, you know, the ones at the top of the board, we're in good shape on at this point. So we write so much money during the playoffs at this that it's easy to manipulate these decisions and get to where you need to be.
Jeff, you know what's a real bummer this week? Not having a golf tournament in Maui, right?
No Kapalua. It's I feel a loss this week with that one. And, you know, I had to turn to putting up odds on the LIV promotions event starts Thursday. So a little LIV golf with some golfers that a lot of people have not heard of.
Yeah, that Maui tournament canceled because of the drought and the course went brown. Now they've started to water the course and it looks great, but it's too late to hold the tournament in Kapalua this week. And we'll have to, Jeff, we start the PGA Tour next week in Honolulu, right? The Sony Open?
Sony Open next week. Yeah. So looking forward to see who's in that field come Friday.
Jeff, always appreciate the insight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
There he is, Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Got a lot of college basketball going on tonight. Duke and Louisville, second half about to get underway. The Louisville Cardinals, a 9-point lead over the sixth ranked Duke Blue Devils. Still some big ones to come tonight. We'll circle back to our VSiN primetime game of the night. Texas Tech and Houston. Market coming in on the Houston Cougars.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here, VSiN Primetime on a Tuesday night. Lots of college basketball on the docket. NBA slate, a little light tonight, but still San Antonio Spurs in action, just underway against the Memphis Grizzlies. Thought some good insight from Jeff Sherman regarding the Spurs. You asked him about how high the Westgate Superbook got on the Spurs, and he said they're actually in pretty good shape because he has been a believer in the Spurs most of the year. He personally has some tickets on the Spurs, Matt, and never really got too high there, but there were some 40-1s, he said, out there in the market on the Spurs not too long ago.
I think the Spurs are a real threat. The more you watch them, they've handled the OKC Thunder in a few recent meetings, and hopefully you pulled the trigger on a Spurs futures bet because I think they're going to be there. I like the Nuggets too. And, Tim, we've seen some uncharacteristic cracks in the OKC Thunder here in the past couple weeks, but I'm not going to say the dynasty is dead, but when you watch the Spurs – and you watch the Nuggets, those teams are no doubt capable of taking down OKC. And you're trying to talk about an NBA title favorite right now that's plus 110 in OKC. Plus 110, that's ridiculous. What do you think? I know you love to bet the NBA.
Yes, it's my favorite league to bet. Yes. But, at this point, I am not racing to say that the Thunder – there are cracks in the foundation of the Thunder organization, but you have to certainly raise your eyebrows that they've played the Spurs three times in recent memory and been beaten in all three of those games. And I had on Christmas Day, I thought the Thunder, all right, this is a good spot to back the Thunder here. Mm-hmm. They were just got their butts kicked on the 23rd, and they got their butts kicked again. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. But
Not only did they get their butts kicked, they lost by 27 at home to a Charlotte team. That's sub 500.
Yeah, that to me doesn't really. Didn't the year that the Bulls were 73-9 and maybe the greatest team ever, didn't they lose like the Raptors in the regular season? I think they had a really weird kind of bizarre loss that one
every
season.
NBA
72-10. So I'm not going to put too
much
stock.
Every NBA team's going to have some bizarre losses. I mean, the season's so long, you're going to have nights where you don't show up. But it's not just that one game. It's 6-6 over the last 12. And the sixth loss was a 27-point home loss to the Hornets. Something's not right with that team right now. But it's early January. You got 4 months until the playoffs are going to start.
By the way, I did take, in solidarity with you, Matt, I took a little Iowa in-game here. A little sliver of Iowa +2.5 after this slow start that has got you very agitated.
Well, Bennett Sturts, the star point guard for Iowa, picked up two quick fouls. And he goes right to the bench. Ben McCollum puts him on the bench. I don't know if McCollum is a coach who will set a guy with two fouls for the entire half and bring him back in the second half. If he does that, Minnesota might be up 15 by the time Sturts gets back into the game. I don't like that. I feel like if you got a high IQ basketball player, you tell him, hey, I'm going to leave you out there. Just don't foul. And Sturts hopefully will be back in the game here pretty soon. Minnesota 12, Iowa 7. 8 minutes into the game in Minneapolis.
Little 4-0 run, though, for the Hawkeyes on the road there at the Barn, right? That's what they call it up there in St. Paul?
Yeah, that thing's been there forever, man. And that is like a barn.
Minnesota 12-7, a turnover here. And let's see if was 2.5 the spot to get.
Hopefully it is. I think that was probably a good bet by you, but we'll find out. I mean, how long is Bennett Sturts going to sit out? I just don't want to see him sit out the entire first half.
Usually
this
point guards.
This is not a very good Minnesota team, but Nico Medved is a really good coach.
That is, it's a great point. Yeah. Nico Medved, someone you and I bet on many times when he was at Colorado State. And Bennett Sturts usually, now I'm not going to tell Ben McCollum how to coach, but usually when you've got a point guard dealing with two fouls, you're not as worried as a big man with two fouls. So hopefully Bennett Sturts does get back in. Under 12 media timeout. Minnesota leading Iowa 12-7. The other game going on right now of importance nationally, Duke and Louisville, two top 25 teams going head-to-head. Louisville and Duke closed to pick them. And Louisville had a nice lead at the break, 9-point lead, but Duke has come out and has cut that deficit down to 5 with some free throws here, 16:04 to go in the second quarter, or second half here. Cameron Boozer with 16 for the Blue Devils and Isaiah Evans with 17, 53-49 the score right now, 4-point lead for the Cardinals.
Ryan Conwell, the top scorer for the Cardinals tonight, he is playing for his fourth team in 4 years.
Yep.
South Florida, Indiana State.
He was awesome in Indiana State. He was good at Xavier last year too.
Xavier. Now Louisville, you remember when Zion Williamson was at Duke? I know you remember that. You remember the game when Duke was down about 20 at halftime?
To Louisville, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And Duke stormed back to win the game. And Zion was asked after the game by reporters, what adjustments did Coach K make in the locker room at halftime? Do you remember this?
I don't remember what his answer was, no.
Because you think Coach K, obviously one of the greatest ever to do it, right? Brilliant tactician. What did Coach K, what adjustments did he make at halftime? What did he say to you guys? And Zion said, he didn't really say anything. He just said, we're Duke. We're better than this. Let's go.
Hey. Oh, we are better than them. All right, let's do it.
Inspired the troops.
God.
They got to come back.
Matt, I was at that Elite Eight game in D.C., top-seeded Duke. What a disaster that was by the Blue Devils against Michigan State back in 2019.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge win for Izzo.
Couldn't get the ball. It was like when you had these three stars, R.J. Barrett had to get his. It was like, give the ball to Zion. What are we doing here? And it was a complete malpractice by the Blue Devils.
How many top 10 picks did you have on that Duke team? Three or four?
Three.
Okay. I think Michigan State won that game. I'm going to say 68, 67. I'm going to look that up.
It was 68-67. Look at you.
Was it really?
Yeah. Nice call. Yeah, they had R.J. Barrett, Zion, and Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish was a massive disappointment on that team, in my opinion. But, yeah, I remember watching that game and just thinking, what are they doing? Get the ball to Zion. Final play, if I remember correctly, it was R.J. Barrett, right?
Yeah. Threw up kind of a low percentage shot right at the end. And Izzo, I think that's one of the biggest wins. Aside from winning the national championship.
Also against Duke?
Yeah, that's probably. No, that was Florida.
Yeah.
Michigan State beat Florida.
Michigan State the year before lost to Duke in the Final Four. The 99 Final Four and then a 2000 title, right? Is that right? Remember correctly?
So, say that again.
So, 99, Duke beat Michigan State in the Final Four, then lost to UConn.
Yes.
And then 2000, Michigan State beat Florida in the title. Is that right?
Yes. I was at that game in Indianapolis. Since I got the 68-67 right, I'm going to test my – I think Michigan State beat Florida. I'm going to try to guess this. 92-72. Get up.
89-76.
Okay.
Not too far off. Right. Not too All far right. off. I'll give you the 68-67 is a great pull.
Well, I knew it was a one-point game, and it was – in the high 60s.
Duke almost lost in the Sweet 16. I was sitting, I had somehow finagled my way to get a media row ticket for Duke, Virginia Tech, and they had that lob pass to Zion as they came back. Virginia Tech should have won that game.
They let
that one slip through their hands.
It's amazing when you think about some of these Duke teams in the tournament in the past have been so talented, including last season's Duke team. Up on Houston, with 8 minutes to go?
Yeah, we talked
about 8 points with 2 minutes to go.
We talked about some of the worst beats in 2025. I think we're going to have a column coming out on
VSiN.
Oh, if you had Duke in that. I had Houston. I thought I was – I gave up hope, Matt. Never thought I had a chance.
That's what you have to do. You're starting to learn.
And then I bet him again against Florida, and I had hope, and they blew that one, and Florida got the win.
Tell you, that was wild. That Duke team last season was so talented. Cooper Flagg's one of those guys. Doesn't come around too often. Then you have Cameron Boozer this year. I liked Flagg better than Boozer. I just think he can do more to help a team win. Like Cooper Flagg can basically play every spot on the floor.
Looking at KenPom right now, Matt. Uh-huh. Houston had a 2.5% chance of winning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, with 3 minutes to go.
I was out here in Derek Stevens' box that night watching the game. I think Bill 80 from VSiN was out there, a bunch of, and we were just stunned that Duke blew the game.
I couldn't
believe
it.
Were you out there that night?
No, I wasn't. Okay. I was watching the game at a friend's house, and I wasn't the greatest guest because I had Houston. And I'm like, this is awful. I'm like, this
throwing stuff around the house.
Ridiculous, you know, breaking stuff at a stranger's house. And then we walked home and turned the game on. I'm like, holy moly, Houston's going to come back and win this game. 14-11, Minnesota and Iowa. That game going on midway through the first half. We got a good one brewing there between Louisville and Duke right now. Cameron Boozer just called for an offensive foul. 53-49 is the score. Matt, John Harbaugh, no longer the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
I thought you were going to say he's already agreed to a deal with the Giants. Like you had breaking news.
Might happen soon enough, but we will head to Baltimore on the other side of the break. How are they taking to the news of John Harbaugh's ousting? But just a reminder, folks, head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. You get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, 24/7 video, and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started today for just $9.99. Save up to 50% with an annual plan. VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray. Got some games that are shaping up to be pretty good ones. How about this, Matt? The Nittany Lions hanging around. Michigan, 55-48. Penn State went off as 24.5-point underdogs. Got out to a really strong lead and just kind of lurking around there. Penn State down 10 now to Michigan. The game of the night in the early window is shaping up to be just that. Louisville only up one now. That lead is down to one, 53-52. Duke back to the favorite in this game, minus $1.60 on the money line, minus 2.5. And a game that you're keeping a close eye on, Iowa up now 20-16 on Minnesota.
Yeah, we got some good college hoops tonight. Let's talk about the biggest story of the day.
And that would be John Harbaugh being relieved of his duties as the Baltimore Ravens head coach. And Glenn Clark, my good friend down there in Baltimore, a lifer, PressBox Online, also WBAL, joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And I guess, Glenn, the question I'll ask to you, as I am now more on the outside looking in, being inside Baltimore, did this come as a surprise to people like you who cover this team on a day-in, day-out basis?
Yes, Tim, surprise but not shock is the way that I would describe it. Surprise because, and I've alluded to this a couple of times, the Ravens have existed for 30 years combined between head coach and general manager. In 30 years, this is now only the third firing they've ever made. So on that level, you're always surprised because the Ravens just don't do this. But not shocked it for two reasons. One, because I think you just had this feel of a team. Things weren't going the right way. I know a lot of people nationally were trying to suggest that this was going to be a Lamar versus John Harbaugh thing. That never made sense. There was way too much made of that Baltimore Sun column. And truth be told, if there ever was a Lamar versus John Harbaugh thing, Lamar was going to win. There was no gain for John Harbaugh. The only hope would be that Lamar would beg to keep him. So that never made any ounce of sense. You started to feel that there was something going on. And then the way that some of the reporting that you heard from like Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, that was leaving the door open, was because they were getting some of the same feedback that a lot of us had got, which is, well, we think John Harbaugh is going to be back. We have every reason to believe that John Harbaugh is going to be back. But no one was saying it definitively. And because of that, the door was very much open. And so I don't think anybody was shocked by it.
What about Lamar Jackson? Is there a chance the Ravens could move on from him? And Glenn, is it accurate that he counts, about $74 million against the cap next season? Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly right. $74.5 million is right now. No is the short answer. They're not. And that's sort of been brought up out of thin air. The Ravens need to get an extension done with Lamar Jackson because of that number. I mean, they could try to just convert some of that and get that number done, but then you'd just be pushing it down the road for another year. They got to get an extension done, and Lamar Jackson is a frustrating person to try to talk contract with because he doesn't have an agent. So you can't just say, hey, here's what the numbers are. You know what the market says. Let's get it done. But no, not practical. He also has a no-trade clause to boot. Not practical to think that this is going to lead any other way. You make this move because you need to find someone that's going to win with Lamar Jackson, which, you know, while they won a lot of games, they have constantly come up short in the biggest games they've played over the years. And so that's why John Harbaugh's paying the price. And you now need to find someone that's going to be able to do better than that.
Glenn Clark joins us here courtesy of our Progressive guest line. It's just crazy to think back to Sunday night. If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is Mike Tomlin fired from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Instead, he misses the field goal, and Tomlin's beating his chest. He's going to be back for another year, and John Harbaugh is out. There's no way to answer this question, but if that field goes through and then Baltimore loses to Houston, are we just doing this next week? What was your kind of feel? Was that field goal the difference, or was it just inevitability?
I think if they turn around and lost to Houston, I think it was going to require a real run, something that said that they didn't take a step back this season. And I don't know that getting in by the skin of your teeth and losing at home to the Texans was going to be able to prove. I don't even know if winning a game against the Texans, if you turn around and got your butt kicked on the road the following week, they needed to show that they were still moving forward, that this was still somehow an ascending group. And there are bigger problems with the Ravens. Like, it's kind of a miracle they won eight games. Their offensive line wasn't very good. They couldn't get a sack to save their lives. They went away from Derrick Henry constantly throughout the course of the season for no reason whatsoever. The only times they beat playoff teams were games that Lamar Jackson didn't start. I mean, this was a bad football team this year that nearly was able to mask all of that and get into the playoffs anyway. But the sense that I've gotten is that short of a real run, you know, short of maybe if they had an opportunity to beat Buffalo, something that would show that they were still moving in that overall trajectory. I just think this season proved that there were deeper problems and that they knew, and Steve Bisciotti in particular knew that he needed to make a change.
John Harbaugh has mentioned in the past, he's got family members from Cleveland. His family grew up Browns fans. How likely do you think it would be that he could end up in Cleveland?
I think he knows too much about that organization. I think that he knows. It's anecdotal. I'll tell you that, like, I remember when Brian Billick was fired after 2007, and I don't remember what the team was, but he and I were talking early in that offseason, and he was going to interview for the job, and I said, oh, you know, would you take that job? And he said, not a chance in hell. Like, I know better. I know what a good organization looks like. And I think that John Harbaugh, I think there's a reason why everybody's talking about the Giants, that for all the issues they've had, they're still thought of as a stable organization with the same family that's been running the team. And it's not thought of a place where, like, if John Harbaugh wants the job, he probably can have all the power he wants. And the Browns are known as the team where you were forced by an owner to take on the worst contract in the history of sports. So I'd be surprised. Yes, he has affinity for the Cradle of Coaches and Miami and all that, but I'd be surprised, given what he knows about that organization, how it's run, if he signed up for that.
Glenn Clark joining us here as John Harbaugh out as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. 18 seasons there, one Super Bowl, a lot of success. You mentioned the Cradle of Coaches. Sean McVay played at Miami, Ohio. Never coached there, but he does have a statue like John Harbaugh outside that stadium. Mm-hmm. I bring that up to say this. I just got an email with some odds in a far-off land regarding who would be the next Ravens coach. Chris Shula, the defensive coordinator of the Rams, has the shortest odds. Jesse Minter, obviously, his ties to the Harbaugh family. What's your feel of what could come next? Do they want to kind of sever ties with this Harbaugh wrong run? Would Jesse Minter be of an option? Obviously, he was in Baltimore. What's your gut feel right now tell you about what Eric DaCosta and this front office will do?
I would say that I think it's neutral, the Harbaugh connection with Jesse Minter. I don't think that it's going to be a plus. I also don't think they're going to hold it against him. I think most Ravens fans would have hoped that Mike McDonald would have been the coach, and Mike McDonald came from the Harbaugh tree. So I think Jesse Minter looks straight out of Central Casting. He looks like a head coach. Everybody that talks about him raves about his ability to be a head coach. And I think if he has an interview and they love him, I would say beyond just the Harbaugh connection, there's other connections, because Joe Ortiz, who ran the Ravens scouting department for years, is the general manager in Los Angeles, and he and Eric DaCosta are very close. So I think that's someone that he's going to call. I think it makes all the sense in the world to me that Jesse Minter would be the favorite because of those things. I saw that same email that you did. That was a little surprising to me. The initial people that I had talked to, I hadn't heard a lot about Chris Shula. There's not really a connection, but I don't think there needs to be a connection. It's worth pointing out that when they hired John Harbaugh, nobody even knew that Jim Harbaugh had a brother. I mean, he was completely off the radar. But to be fair, they wanted to hire Jason Garrett in that cycle. Jason Garrett just said no.
Well, he's available.
So, he is. I'd be stunned. But I don't know why the Titans are interviewing him either. Tim, I would say that, yeah, I think that Minter makes all the sense. I think Clint Kubiak's name is going to come up. Obviously, his dad was the offensive coordinator in Baltimore. And Steve Bisciotti was very fond of Gary Kubiak. So I think that, and he's been with Mike McDonald. I think that makes some sense. But I think the Ravens, I don't think this is we're doing this because we have a candidate in mind. Mm-hmm. I think that Steve Bisciotti intends to have a search and to find the guy he wants. Look, he's modeled this organization after the Steelers. He wants to find another coach that's going to be here for two decades.
At Glenn Clark Radio is where you can find him on Twitter, Pressbox Online, WBAL. The man does everything down there in the Baltimore area. Glenn, appreciate you jumping on tonight, man.
Tim, Matt, appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is. Glenn Clark giving us the latest. John Harbaugh out after 18 seasons as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. We got a good one going on in Louisville as Duke has actually regained the lead. They have outscored Louisville 20-8 in the second half here. They lead 58-55. Cameron Boozer, 21 points so far tonight.
Yeah, glad I didn't bet this game. Have not had a good read on it as it's unfolded here. The Cardinals have gone cold in the second half. Michigan up 11 with 9 minutes to go.
All right, we'll dive into our VSiN primetime game of the night. Texas Tech and Houston, tip-off scheduled for 9 o'clock Eastern. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN primetime.
This This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
66-62, Duke. 4-point lead over Louisville, trailed by double digits in the first half. We're down 8 at the break to the Louisville Cardinals, but Duke has roared back, and they have a 4-point lead right now. Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Not as crazy as last night's Hornets whooping of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but the Orlando Magic went off as 7.5-point favorites in the nation's capital tonight. And the Washington Wizards, Matt, you don't walk into Capital One Arena and come out with a victory. Well, unless you're most teams. 22-point lead right now for the Washington Wizards in the third quarter. So as we take a look at another bizarre score in the NBA, the Wizards right now up 91-67 on the Magic.
If you're going to play moneyline parlays with favorites in the NBA on a nightly basis, kiss your bankroll goodbye, because you're not going to have it long.
Speaking of money
line. We just talked about what was OKC, a 17-point favorite against Charlotte, by 27. You don't know if these teams are going to show up. Most of these teams, you have no idea if they're going to show up on a nightly basis. By the way, the Michigan lead is down to 6.
Mike Rhodes, baby.
Mike Rhodes getting it done tonight. The Penn State Nittany Lions going to cover that number.
The Lebanon Valley Flying Dutchman legend. Won a national championship there, Matt. Did you know that? D3, Lebanon Valley. Mike Rhodes.
Well, I know Mike Rhodes got a very impressive coaching background. I like him a lot. I think he's really good. Penn State's a tough job, too. Micah Shrewsbury came from Penn State.
I was told my he was at VCU, and I told my buddy that he was going to be going to Penn State. And he was like, no, because I think they were neighbors or good friends down there in the Richmond area. It's a tough job, no doubt.
Big and 10 money.
6-point lead for Michigan.
I know.
This is incredible. I mean, you say there's no moral victories. This is a moral victory, no matter what happens here. It's a 6-point game, 24.5-point underdogs for Penn State, a team that.
Actually, late money showed up on Michigan.
I know.
Yeah.
Number got as high as 24.5. We'll see how this one unfolds. That and the Duke game, certainly the most interesting right now. Halftime. In the Twin Cities, Minnesota, a 31-24 lead. We were wondering, Bennett Sturts, he's not going to sit the whole first half, Matt, after getting 2. Oh, no, he is. No points for Bennett Sturts in the first half. I'll be honest, I know I already bet it.
I wouldn't bet it.
I would look at Iowa second half.
Leave it alone.
Matt's grumpy because he has him on a money line.
I got Iowa, too, and I still think there's a decent chance Iowa comes back to win the game. But Bennett Sturts shot 0-for-5 in the 8 minutes he played, and he's cold tonight, 0-for-3 from three. Maybe this is just a night where the Hawkeyes don't have
Could be.
So
things get weird in that barn there in the Twin Cities.
You go on the road in college basketball, man, it's tough to win. That's why I don't like to play many favorites on the road in college hoops. It's really a losing proposition in the long run, but I like the coach. I like the point guard a lot. And unfortunately, coach sat the point guard on the bench for most of the first half with 2 fouls, and he's 0-for-5. So that got off to a poor start tonight. Hopefully a strong finish for the Hawkeyes in the second half. Duke has really turned around this game. I didn't like the way the Blue Devils played in the first half tonight, but, man, the Cardinals have gone cold here in the second half. Louisville down 6 with 8 minutes to go.
Matt, coming up in just a little bit, we have our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night, top 15 showdown in Houston as the Cougars take on Texas Tech. And we saw late money coming in on Houston. This number got up to 8 right now as we look at it before tip-off. Still 8 here at Circa, 7.5 market-wide as Houston and Texas Tech. We had the professor on last night, and Aaron Moore liked over 140.5 was what he played last night. It was 141.5 when we had him on. 142.5 is the current number there. The Houston Cougars, a decent-sized favorite here against Texas Tech at home. And you like Houston to take care of business, at least straight up.
Yeah, this number steamed up a little bit from 6 to 8, like you mentioned. Ryan Hyatt of Lubbock, Texas, checks in.
Hello, Ryan.
He predicts 66-61, Houston. That's his prediction.
Oh, wow.
So under the total. I'm trying to remember the name of that steakhouse in Lubbock he was talking about.
I'm sure Ryan will let us know. Ryan's a loyal listener. He'll let us know I am going to throw another little small wager on Iowa. I'm going to go down with the ship, Matt. Plus 140, I think, was on the money line I just saw. Plus 125.
It's going to be a fun hour.
I wouldn't say you're a bundle of joy over there right now.
I mean, come on. Are you trying to torture us both?
Of course. We're sitting here. We got another 2 hours. Well, speaking of bundle of joy, it's got to be a bundle of joy to be a Jets fan right now. Huh?
Aaron? How about a Jets fan for the last 50 years?
Oh, God. Aaron Glenn, when did Joe Namath guarantee victory sitting there next to Brent Musburger?
It's early 70s, and have not been back to the Super Bowl since.
Well, Boomer Esiason was on his radio program on WFAN and in New York and had some strong thoughts on the current Jets situation.
This is the worst, in my eyes, this is worse. This is the worst team that the Jets have ever put out on the field. Ever. And I was a part of one of the bad ones back in 1995. 96 was horrendous, but that roster was rebuilt and they spent a lot of money on that roster. And Aaron Glenn was a part of that roster, but actually both rosters. But this by far was the worst season, and nobody tanked better than they did. And they tanked all the way up to the second overall pick. So that means that you're going to have your choice of, you know, one of the two quarterbacks. If you actually like both of them, meaning Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza, and I kind of think that the Raiders are going to take Mendoza.
That's a strong statement saying that's the worst team the Jets have ever put out on the field. You go back to, 1969-70 when the Jets were 18-point underdogs to the Baltimore Colts. They won that Super Bowl 16-7. They have not been back. They've had a lot of bad teams in the last 25 years. They've had a couple decent teams.
They got back-to-back AFC Championship appearances
with Rex Ryan. And there have been a few Jets teams that have been respectable, pretty good along the way. But, man, they've been really bad recently. The Jets and the Giants. Over the last Giants, 8-38? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Over the last, 4 years? And four of those eight wins have come in the last 2 weeks of the season when
teams are done.
Teams are mailing it in. 8-3. Jets and Giants, two of the worst franchises in the league recently.
If the Falcons just beat the Jets, they'd be in the playoffs.
Well, that's why Raheem Morris got fired, really. And I think that Aaron Glenn has proven he cannot cut it as a head coach. But Woody Johnson, the owner, is incompetent too. So when you have the skipper and Gilligan trying to steer the ship, you're going to end up shipwrecked more often than not. And that's the story with the Jets.
Well, the Raiders, they have the number one pick, and they're not the model of consistency either.
Well,
this will be their, sixth coach since coming to Vegas?
Yeah, but now Tom Brady's in charge.
Yeah. Okay. He did a great job hiring Chip Kelly, your buddy, your favorite OC.
He did a great job signing Geno Smith, too. $58 million. Nice job. Did you see Geno Smith scrub the Raiders off all of his social media accounts?
Yeah.
Hey, look, the Raiders don't want you. Get lost.
They're going to have Fernando Mendoza coming in town. Well, Tom Telesco of CBS gave his thoughts on the Raiders' head coaching search and the latest on Max Crosby.
Do I think the Raiders would trade Max Crosby? No, I still don't think they will. It just didn't work out with Pete Carroll this year. I thought he was going to give them some stability that they hadn't had, and it just didn't quite work out. But they've got some things to work on just team building wise. And I think, I have a unique perspective here. I was only there 1 year. I do feel like with this next hire, and I know that the fans get tired of hearing that, hey, this next one's going to be the one, but I think they'll be on the same page, the same vision. And this is important because you also have the number one draft pick, which is going to be a quarterback. But you're looking at an organization. And I was part of this where, for three straight years, the draft, you were drafting players for a different head coach for three straight years. And this is going to be the fourth year of that. And that's where the rebuilds, it starts to slow down because, every head coach has a different thoughts, philosophies, schemes. Sometimes when the new head coach comes in, he's not as much invested in some players that were drafted previous. So they have to get to a point where they have some stable front office, stable head coach. Because this team has great resources. They really do. Between the stadium, the practice facility is one of one. It's amazing. They've got a worldwide fan base. Mark Davis is a passionate owner who lets football people make football decisions. They've got great leadership on the business side with Sandra Douglas Morgan. So it's set up really well. And they have talented support staffs there, like training, equipment. I thought the scouting staff was excellent when I arrived there. So there's a lot of great pieces. Just got to find the stability at the top and start building to that. And, you know, having the first pick of the draft, they can finally get a quarterback to build around.
Tom Telesco, his thoughts. We'll hit on those thoughts, Matt, and what you have to say about the Las Vegas Raiders job opening and the state of the franchise on the other side.